Thanks for listening to messages here at First Baptist Church Monticello. We are a multi-generational church in the panhandle of Florida that is committed to worshiping our great God, growing closer to Jesus Christ, serving God by serving others, and sharing the good news about Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be sure to like us on Facebook and listen to our messages anytime on our website, fbcmonticello.org. Thanks for being part of our FBC family, and enjoy the message.
Open up your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read starting at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And once you find your place, please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. All right, Ephesians chapter 6. Starting at verse 10. The Word of God says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." That's our word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us to gather around your word and to gather together as the family of God here on our corner. And Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, that we would indeed be able to stand strong against the spiritual battle that we are in. Father, help us to be aware of that battle and help us use the spiritual armor that you've given each one of us to stand strong. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've talked about all the different parts of the armor, and we're down to the last of the list before we conclude our series next week. And here it is in verse number 17. It says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit," which is the Word of God. Now, to a Roman, the helmet was a very important piece of armor. It was a bronze metal helmet that had a leather strap, and they would keep that close by in case they were to get into some kind of skirmish, or at least there was some fighting to be done. They would quickly put on their helmet so that they would be ready for battle. It was something that was essential in the life of a soldier to be ready for that battle, because any blow to the head would certainly take the soldier out of commission and potentially end their life. And helmets are not something that we are completely, we still see helmets in a number of different places. I was thinking about the construction worker that is working with things that are above, and they wear that hard hat to protect their head in case something were to fall from above. I think about the football player that doesn't go on the field without his helmet. And as I was thinking about that football helmet, I was thinking about, while you watch the game, anytime someone's helmet pops off, that always gets kind of my attention, like, oh no, that player could be hurt, because their helmet that's there to protect their head is not there. And you certainly wouldn't want to take a snap or be involved in a play in like the NFL without a helmet, an appropriate helmet in place. It's just something that prepares you for what you're about. And in the same way, we have the helmet of salvation in place so that we can stand strong against the devil's schemes against us, against the spiritual battle that we're in. And so this is a this is an allusion that the reader and we can imagine that Roman soldier that is relying on their helmet, and we rely on this helmet of salvation. And it's interesting that it says the helmet of salvation. And that's not when we're saved, but it certainly involved, it is included in that. Remember when we talked about the gospel of peace, we agreed there that that's not salvation that's being discussed there, because the person gets equipped with their spiritual armor when they become a child of God by trusting Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. See, this passage of Scripture is addressed to us as believers so that we can stand strong under the attack of the evil one. And so this helmet of salvation is not salvation alone when we receive Christ. But I have here on your message notes, number one, a believer's salvation in three tenses protects the mind in spiritual battle. And these three tenses that I'm talking about here is clearly taught in the Scripture. It's the past, that when someone receives Christ, their sins of their past are forgiven, and we receive salvation from the penalty of our sin. And so that's a past salvation. We're also being saved here in the present, that the work of Christ is still alive in our work, and day by day, he is sustaining us and he is saving us right here in the present. And there's also this idea of a future salvation, that one day we'll be with Jesus and we'll be saved for all of eternity based on what Jesus Christ did for us. And see, this helmet of salvation in place, we understand our past, we understand the situation that we're in here in the present, and we also understand our future, that our future is sure, that we are on the winning side, that we will see Jesus face to face. And if you wanted to apply some more theological words to this, our past salvation is known as justification. It's just as we've never sinned because the blood of Christ has been put over that sin. We're justified from our sin. And here in the present, we are being sanctified, sanctification. That is how we are transformed more and more every day into the image of his son Jesus. We're sanctified, and that's God's will for us, to grow in our faith and become more and more like Jesus as time goes by. And of course, glorification is that day we'll see Jesus face to face. And we have been enjoying on Sunday nights studying the book of Revelation and such beautiful scenes from the throne room of God. And one of the questions that I ask in our group, we have kind of discussions around tables, and I'll ask questions and then I'll answer the questions and describe it to the rest of the group. It's really a very good thing as we discuss the Scripture together. But sometimes I'll ask the question, where are believers in this scene? And many times the answer has been right there around the throne of God, right there worshiping him. And that is our future. That's our future for the believer in Christ, that we've been saved from our sins, we've been justified, we are being sanctified in the present, that God's not done with the work that he has in our life, and that we're one day see Jesus face to face, that glorification. There's a passage of Scripture that I want to, that all three of those tenses are described. If you look at, flip over a couple of pages to Philippians chapter 1, and this is Paul's greeting to the Philippians, and he hits all of these tenses here in just a few verses. Philippians chapter 1 verse 3 says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out, carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You see, you can see all of those tenses. He says he appreciates their partnership in the gospel from the first day, that day that they received Christ and were justified. And then he says in verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Aren't you glad that God's not done with you yet? I mean, I certainly am. And aren't you glad that the mistakes that you've made since you were a believer doesn't make God turn away from you? That he is our loving Heavenly Father, and he receives us back, and he's not done with you. He has a work. He has something that he wants to do in your life. He wants you to draw closer and closer to him. He's not done in his sanctifying work. He's saving you right here in the presence. And then the end of verse number 6 says, we'll carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And that's the day that we're looking forward to. that day that he rules and reigns, and that we will be with him. And so a believer's salvation in these three tenses, past, present, and future, protects our mind in spiritual battle. Which leads me to the second thing there in your message notes, is the battle is won or lost in the mind. It's really important the way that we process, the way that we think about life and think about this spiritual battle, because the battle is won or lost in the mind. A blow to the head for a soldier takes that soldier out. And so that soldier needs that protective helmet in place. And if we want to fight those spiritual battles and win, we need that helmet of salvation firmly in place, because that battle is won or lost in the mind. Turn back a few pages if you're still in Philippians chapter 1 to Romans chapter 12, to a very familiar passage of scripture, but it talks about this battle of the mind. And here Paul is describing a living sacrifice when he says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God." And then listen to this. I'm sorry, this is your true and proper worship. Then in verse 2, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." You see, we have to allow God to transform our mind so that we are thinking like he thinks. That we're not thinking like we think, but thinking like he thinks, so that we can understand what's going on and so that we can apply this armor of God to our life and to protect our mind, to guard. And there's two things I wanted to mention as it relates to the battle being won or lost in the mind. The first one is that we have to guard what enters our mind. We have to filter what comes into our mind and be very careful about that. And that involves the things that we take in by our senses, the things that we watch, the websites that we go to, the movies that we watch. We have to make sure that the filter is turned up high on that, because what we bring into our life affects us and how we think, right? We have to be careful about what we allow to come into our life, because if we allow a lot of garbage to come in, then a lot of garbage is going to come out and it's going to be in our mind. And see, we have to instead allow God to transform our mind so that we understand we're thinking rightly about the situations that we're in, so that we follow God. This verse, these verses in Romans 12 talks about, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. And it's not just knowing God's will, it's his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, we have to guard what's entering our mind so that we are processing and thinking about our lives the right way. Another thing that relates to this battle being won or lost in the mind is that we have to replace the world with the word in our mind. You know, that was when I was a young believer. I had not grown up. I got saved when I was 19 years old. And there were a lot of movies I saw. There was a lot of music that I listened to that just kind of hung in my mind. And it's really a matter of replacing the world, replacing that with the word of God, and replacing that with the content of what God would speak into our lives. You see, we have to replace, and so we have to guard what goes in there, and then we have to be careful to replace that negative stuff with something positive. And so we see this helmet of salvation that is protecting our mind, because the battle is won or lost in the mind. So that's the helmet of salvation. I'm so thankful for the helmet of salvation, that it's not left just for us to figure it out, that God has given us the content. He's giving us what we need to live our lives in a way that would honor him, our lives in a way that would allow us to stand strong against the devil's schemes, the helmet of salvation. Now, along with that, and very closely related to that, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. For a Roman soldier, the sword was very important. It was what they would use to defend themselves. It was a defensive and offensive weapon. And it was also the sword that they would take the fight to the enemy. I'm thinking about some of the shows that I've watched on TV, like Lord of the Rings and other things, where there's these epic sword battles and the fight is being won or lost based on their ability to fight with the sword. And for a Roman soldier, there was a couple different types of swords that were available to them. There was and it was kind of broken down into two broad categories, kind of a long sword and a short sword. The long sword would be that sword that you would take into that battle. You know you're marching into battle and you want your long sword with you and you're going into battle. The other sword was a short sword, and it had more of a utility idea. That was the sword that you would carry around kind of all the time. And that was just something that was very useful. And so the sword that Paul is describing here in this passage is not the long sword. I kind of think about it like it's not Excalibur. It's not like this special show sword for these special battles. It's not that sword. It's the short sword that has the utility of it. It's that sword that's carried all the time. The short sword was the sword that Peter had when he was in the garden when Jesus was arrested, and he takes out his sword and cuts off the ear of the servant, which Jesus healed. Remember that story? That's that short sword that you carry all the time. And so this is not a pocket knife that you carry all the time, but this is a sword. And if I were to compare this to like a pistol that someone would carry. Now there are some guns that are quite large. Like I'm thinking about the Ruger Black Hawk 44 mag with a 9-inch barrel that takes two hands to hold to shoot. I mean, that's for a special purpose. It's really a terrible gun to shoot, but that's not an everyday carry. That's the big gun that you bring out at special occasions when you want to bust your eardrums. Now that is contrasted with, you know, the 9mm that maybe fits in your back pocket or fits in a holster underneath your clothing that you carry around all the time, like some of you are carrying around right now. It's tucked in, it's ready to go when you need it. And see, that's the difference. He's describing here this Roman sword, and it's not the sword of Aragorn that is remade by the elves. It's the sword of Frodo that you carry around, this short sword for the Lord of the Ring nerdy people in here like myself. And so he's talking and describing this sword of the Spirit, and it's called of the Spirit. And that speaks of the Bible, and it mentions exactly what this sword is. It's the Word of God. And so we're thinking about our Bible now, and our Bible is a treasure for us that we should use like that everyday carry, is that we use it every day, that it's involved in our life when we go, wherever we go, at all times, not just at special times. So there's a utility to it. And so he mentions that this is the sword of the Spirit. And the Spirit, if you know about the Bible, the Holy Spirit of God inspired godly people to write the words of the Scripture. It is truly the sword of the Spirit. It was the God inspiring people through his Holy Spirit to write down the very words of God that would be preserved for us, that we could have the Bible that we have. Listen, the Bible that we have is a treasure to us. It is something that is really a beautiful thing when you think about the treasure of his word. It was written over a period of 1,500 years, and it was written by over 40 authors that were divinely inspired by God to write down those things. And so we have that now in our hands to consult. And this is something that we use in our life as we are fighting these spiritual battles. Not just the big battles, but the everyday battles that we focus on. The Bible is our powerful weapon that leads to victory. The Bible is our powerful weapon that leads to victory. Number three on your message notes. Using the Word of God, we can understand how God would have us to think and to work through a situation. Thank you very much. I think we'll keep him around. Yeah, a couple more weeks. Thank you. So the Bible is a powerful weapon that leads to victory. If you look at this Roman soldier that Paul has described, this is the only weapon that he has equipped the soldier with. They certainly had other weapons at their disposal, but this is the only weapon that is given. And there's also another interesting thing about this spiritual armor that God has described through Paul, is that there's no protection for the back. It doesn't talk about how a soldier is protected from rear attack, meaning that God never intended for us to turn and run. He intended us to fight these spiritual battles head on, and we stand there with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we're taking the fight to Satan. And we are protecting ourselves. Like I said, it's both a defensive and an offensive weapon. And it is the only weapon that God gives us. And listen, it's all that we need. We're going to start a series 2 weeks from this morning about what we believe as a church, as a denomination. We're going to talk about the Apostles' Creed, which is the foundation of our belief system. And we're also going to talk about the Baptist faith and message. And we're going to talk about the things that we hold true as a church and how important that is for us to understand those things. And we're going to launch into a number of weeks about what we believe. And I'm looking forward to that. And certainly some of the content that we are going to cover is what we believe about the Scripture, what we believe about the Holy Word of God, that it's perfectly inspired by God and we have a true copy that we can rely on. And I'm looking forward to spending some time as we talk about those things that we believe. But with the Bible in hand, we take the fight to Satan, and we protect ourselves, we stand strong, and we also can take the fight to the enemy. Look at number 4 on your message notes, and this is a word that I'll have to define some. But for victory, the word of God must be wielded. Must be wielded. That is an awesome word for the word of God. A verb, wielded. This word wield means that you take it up to use a weapon efficiently, effectively, and handle it and employ it actively. And so when you talk about wielding something, and this is W-I-E-L-D, that means taking it up and using it. And so saying this word wield is something that you would wield a sword as you pick it up, and this is talking about using it effectively and actively. And that's what we do as we fight these spiritual battles, is a Bible sitting on the nightstand of our bedrooms collecting dust, that's not wielding the Word of God. What it means to wield the Word of God is to open it up and to read it, and not just read it for comprehension or read it to check off that box that you read your Bible today, but to allow the Word of God to come into our lives and to affect us, and then adjust, listen, this is the key, adjust our lives back to what we see from the Bible. That is how we fight this spiritual battle, is we're becoming more and more like Jesus. That helmet of salvation, that sanctification that we talked about earlier, but we're using the Word of God and we're wielding it. What a shame it would be for a soldier to go to battle with his sword at the house. He would never do that. Just like when Brent Edwards came up here and talked about his utility belt with all of those things, he would never take a shift as a deputy in Tallahassee without his gun and handcuffs and mace and taser and all of those things. We just don't do some things. And you see, if we're going to effectively fight these battles, it's going to be when we wield the Word of God and we're allowing the Word of God to change us and transform us, like Romans 12 talked about. And that we will be coming closer and closer to what God would have us to do in our life, not what we want. Remember, we're not fighting in our own strength. This is the armor of God in His power. Back in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, we're fighting this battle not in our own strength, but in His power, following His will as we allow the Word of God to transform us into Christ's likeness. Let's go to one other passage. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And there is a verse, we've read this verse already a couple weeks ago, but this really describes what's going on in this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. All right. Not hearing a whole lot of Bible pages turning. Maybe y'all just got there faster than I did. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3. It says this, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does." We're talking about spiritual battle. Verse 4, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments of every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought." Remember, the battle is won or lost in the mind. "We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And see, that's what we need to do, is as we're fighting these spiritual battles and we're trying to figure out what we do, we need to have this helmet of salvation. We know that we're saved in Christ, past, present, and future saved in Christ, and that we protect our head and our mind and our thought process as we allow the Word of God to change us. So we take every thought captive. And when Satan says to us, like he did Adam and Eve, "Did God really say that? Is that what God's will is really for your life?" Remember that first temptation in Genesis chapter 3? We're going to look at that more next week. That first temptation in Genesis chapter 3, did God really say that? And then he lies when he says, "You will surely not die if you take of that fruit." You see, they fell to that temptation. And so we take every thought captive, so that when Satan says to us, "Did God really say you needed to do this? It's so hard. Shouldn't you be happy instead? Shouldn't you just do what feels right to you instead?" Listen, that is a lie from Satan. We need to not do what makes us happy or what feels right. We need to look into the Word of God as we wield the sword of the Spirit, as we have the helmet of salvation in place. And we need to do what God calls us to do, not what we want to do. Next week we're going to conclude this study, and we're going to look at a modern example right out of the news of someone that's losing a spiritual battle right now. We're going to look at a real life example of that. And then I'm going to tie all of these pieces of armor together and demonstrate to you how you can use this armor in a practical way in your life to have spiritual victory. And listen, it's not going to be do what you want to do. It's going to be honor God with whatever you're doing based on these principles that we're going to see here. I hope that you'll be here next Sunday for that, because it's going to hopefully tie it all together using some examples. And so as we've talked about this helmet of salvation and this sword of the Spirit, it brings us down to this question. Are you allowing the Word of God to transform your mind and win spiritual battles? Are we allowing the Word of God to be actively and present in our lives to such an extent that we feel like we are spiritual victors? Or are we struggling and losing more than we're winning? And it's not that God hasn't, and if we're losing more than we're winning, it's not that God hasn't given us everything that we need. He certainly has. Every piece of armor is in place. Everything is there available to us if we will take it up and if we'll apply it to our life. Listen, it's not just understanding the facts about the Roman suit of armor and the Roman shield. And it's not just saying, "Yes, I agree, the Word of God is important." It's what we do with all of that information that counts. I mean, this hasn't been an exercise just to describe the armor that is mentioned in this passage. This is about how we can take up these pieces of armor and apply them to our lives and keep them in place so that we can stand strong, so that we can stand, and as these fiery darts are coming at us, as these accusations are coming at us, as these lies are coming towards us, that we can stand our ground. Listen, we've been losing too much. We've been losing too much ground. We've been defeated too many times. It's time for us to stand strong, and God gives us everything that we need to stand. Is everybody doing okay? I got one little thing more that I think that you'll appreciate. I mentioned a couple weeks ago about this book, Pilgrim's Progress, and it's a allegory about Christian, and he's going to Zion, going towards the city of God. And along the way, he comes across many different characters, and he has a encounter with those characters. And the last time that we were here with Christian, that's headed towards the promised land, he was having an encounter with Apollyon, and that's Satan in the book. And Apollyon is standing in his way. He's trying to go to Zion, and Apollyon is standing in the way. And remember, last time that we were here in this book, and we were seeing this scene work out, he was the accuser. He was talking to Christian about all the mistakes that he had made since his journey started. And remember, what happened was that Apollyon was bringing these accusations up towards Christian, and Christian agreed with him and said, all of these things you've said about these mistakes I've made are right, but the one that I serve is willing to forgive and give me other chances as I travel. And that's a big deal. But where we pick up the story is during the same exchange, Apollyon is standing in the way. And listen to this. Then Apollyon straddled the entire path and said, I have no fear, prepare to die, for I swear by all my powers that you shall go no further. Here I will shed your blood. This is compelling. I hope that y'all will enjoy this, even a portion of how much I enjoy this particular passage of this book. All right? I am breaking some rules of reading to a group and different things like that. This is a home run right here. And listen to this. And with that, he threw a flaming dart at his breast, but Christian had a shield in his hand. How about that? We talked about those shields. With which he caught it and prevented it from striking. Then Christian drew back, for he saw it was time to take action. And Apollyon came at him, throwing darts as thick as hail, which, despite all Christian did to avoid them, wounded him in his head, his hand, and his foot. This made Christian fight back. Apollyon therefore continued his attack, and Christian again took courage and resisted this manfully as he could. This battle lasted for over half a day until Christian was almost exhausted, for Christian's wounds made him grow weaker and weaker. Boy, we can relate to Christian at this point, can't we? These attacks that are coming at us, like this passage in this book says, are thick as hail, just coming down on us, just wearing us down. He's weaker and weaker. We can relate to that. That's why we have this series, to stand strong, to use what we have to stand up under this pressure. I can tell some of y'all are following along. Thank you for that. Then it says, then Apollyon, seeing his opportunity, began to close in on Christian and wrestled with him, gave him a dreadful fall, and Christian's sword flew out of his hand. Then said Apollyon, I'm sure of you now. And with that, he had almost pressed him to death, so that Christian began to despair of life. But as God would have it, while Apollyon was preparing to take his last blow, thereby making an end to this good man, Christian nimbly reached out his hand and caught his sword, saying, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. And with that, gave him a deadly thrust, which made him back away, like someone who had received a mortal wound. Then Christian saw this. He went at him, saying, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And with that, Apollyon spread his dragon wings and sped away, so Christian saw him no more for a time. That is a victory on the way to Zion for Christian. And that same victory, even though we feel beat down, even to dreading life sometimes, we can take the fight back to the devil and we can stand our ground and we can stand up under this pressure. And that's our call. Our call is to stand strong and to not be beaten down and not go the way of the world, but allow the life-changing power of the Word of God to transform our minds so that we know exactly what God's will is for us. Listen, that's what I want for my life and the life of my wife and my family. That's what I want for us as a church, that we stand our ground against these attacks and that we stand strong. And so we're going to have an invitation now, and we are going to spend some time reflecting about what God has said to us this morning. And if you have some kind of decision to make, you'd like to spend some time here at the altar praying, you can do that. This isn't just a transition to the end of the service. This is a time that we continue to do business with God, whatever that means. And so I'm going to ask you to stand as Myron begins to play, and then I'm going to pray for us as we spend this time together. So would everyone please stand? Father, we want to thank you for your love for us and this passage of scripture that motivates us to stand strong. Father, thank you for the helmet of salvation. Thank you for the sword of the Spirit. We thank you for your word and how it changes our lives. And Father, now as we respond to you and what you've said to us, Father, we pray that you would be glorified. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for what you're doing in the life of our church. And so, Father, we pray that you continue to work that deep work right now. It's in Jesus' name that I pray.